Blog Talk Radio.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be?
Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I would like to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, April the 29th, 2021. And now, here is our anointed host and teacher, prophetess, Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Bishop Cook. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wounded No More. Tonight, I want to teach about and discuss with you the attributes of the Holy Spirit. This is such a very important topic, We don't teach it enough. We don't teach it thoroughly enough. But I will say there are some great books and great teachings out there, from YouTube to actual books in print. And, of course, the Word of God, first and foremost, is what we can go to. But the reason why I felt like this, just like the topic of love or a topic of about faith or a topic about fear, these are huge topics that can turn into a series and that we can continually expand these topics. And the Holy Spirit is one of them. And I'm just really barely scratching the surface tonight. But I think that it's really important when we walk from wounded to wounded no more, how do we get there? The healing process, the Holy Spirit is an intricate part of the healing process, spiritually, naturally, emotionally, and physically. He is there and facilitates and hovers over and protects us in those vulnerable places while we're healing. But I want to, I say this every show, and I'm going to say it again, I want you to make this your own. Don't change the word, the verbiage of it, to fit your circumstance, but let the word speak to you. So if there's anything that's being said tonight in the word, in the scripture, or anything that God gives me that encourages you, take that, walk away from this teaching with a deeper understanding of who he is that will be active and alive in your life, just like the word is. So as a rhema. So we need to understand that once we get to a place from being broken to being healed, we're no longer wounded. And I just wanted people to say that sometimes, you know, just like when you break a bone in the natural or when you have a loss in your family in the natural, the dynamics of all the other relationships change. So maybe, you know, if you've lost a job, if any type of loss, will leave you in a different place. Even if any type of transition or change, not necessarily just death, but any type of transition and change is going to leave you different. So when you go from a place of being broken, and that's been your life, that's been your point of reference, that's just been everything, that's your worldview, and some of your core values are, you know, conceived in that place of woundedness. So once you begin to heal, your relationship with people changes, right? For the most part, hopefully for the good, but sometimes not necessarily so. Sometimes if people can't see you how you are, they don't really know how to relate to you anymore. And so I say all that to say that the Holy Spirit is like that. He helps us, and yet he doesn't change. We change, and our relationship towards him should be more fruitful, more solid, more focused, more intimate. And I want to start with reading John chapter 14, verses 16 through 27. Intimacy is a key part to getting close to anybody, whether it's your children, whether it's a best friend, even sometimes even when we talk about pets, our pets are close to us because, you know, we've spent time with them and they've spent time with us. Now, when it comes to a person, it's the same thing. When it comes to the Lord, you have to read his word, know his word, talk to him, study the word, not just read it, and learn to apply it in your life, and it will change your life. So going back to the attributes of the Holy Spirit and how he is a helper, a comforter, an advocate, a counselor, he strengthens us and he stands by us, is very true. Now, that's just some of the things that I'm going to kind of touch on tonight. He intercedes for us. He never leaves or forsakes us. And so we need to understand how coming from broken to whole or healed or healing, ing, that how do we just refresh and review about how the Holy Spirit is an intricate part of our everyday life, whether we're healed or not. You see, I was discussing this a little bit with my husband because I feel like sometimes when we get to a place where we're saying, oh, I'm good, I'm better than I was before, we kind of drop the relationship to the wayside. Anything or anybody that got us to that place of wholeness, we have a tendency to believe that we don't need that no more. We always need the Holy Spirit. We always need the Holy Spirit. And I think that we can't get in a place where we're above needing. that, because it's just an intricate part of our relationship with God. And I think that we need to remind ourselves that how I see myself now is only through the eyes of Christ. Therefore, being that being the case, I know I need the Holy Spirit. I need to understand more about how to work with him and how not to grieve him and how not to, you know, be a part of the problem instead of part of the answers when it comes to him trying to help me and lead me. And so when you're in a place of woundedness, you do that a lot. You do that with everybody around you. So why wouldn't you do that with the Holy Spirit? Many times you are doing that and you don't even realize it. So once you begin to wake up and have and see clearer now and be a better listener, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you, you can distinguish him talking to you versus you talking to you or anybody else's influence talking to you. So I want to just talk about that. And then there's many, many scriptures and attributes of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read the scripture in John, but I'm also going to talk about the different attributes that I can. And there's so many more that we need. And in between the describing, I will give some examples to the best I can, and also challenge you to see how he is really active in your life. I mean, all these attributes that are listed, that's who he is. And at the same time, I don't know, some people may not have known him as an advocate or one who strengthens or who helps, you know? And so maybe this would be a day for you to discover an attribute, not just this list, this is not an exhausted list at all, of how the Holy Spirit would want to relate to you, and yet you haven't let him in this way, okay? Remember, this show is called Wounded No More. So every time we always are going to address dysfunction from wounded to wholeness and maintaining it and staying that way and growing and growth. So once again, John 14, I'm reading in the Amplified Version, John 14, verses 16 through 27. And this is about the role of the Spirit. And this is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. Forever. Remember, he never leaves or forsakes us. Forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, so he's also called the Spirit of Truth, and to take its heart. And to take to heart. So the world can't receive it seriously about the role of the Holy Spirit because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. So he's not with us, he's within us as well. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you after a little while. The world will no longer see me, but this is Jesus speaking, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. On that day, when that time comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So the person, that's a very intimate description. It's somewhat complex to understand all that, but there's an order to this. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him. See, that also is going once again to intimacy. That's pointing again to the intent and motive of having the Holy Spirit come after Jesus dies on the cross, buried, and raised up again, and even ascends. You are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world. So this is Judas talking. Judas not asked him, Lord, what has happened that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my words, my teachings, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. So this is saying so much about intimacy and his purpose and plan. We're not supposed to be the Lone Rangers, and we're not not supposed to be trying to do things in our own strength. Jesus is mapping it out. One who does not really love me, he does not keep my words and or my teachings, which you hear is not mine, but it's the Father's who sent me. So verse 25, I have told you these things while I am still with you. This is the key verse. Verse 26, but the helper, who is a comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I leave to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Now, you can go back and read that in different translations if you'd like. I really like the Amplified, but the ESV is also good. I go back and forth with that one. But there's different things that are amplified in this translation that I really love that has to do with, from verse 18 to about verse 24, he is reiterating and saying the same thing different ways about his intent for us to be in relationship with him. I think that intimacy and relationship piece is kind of what I'm going to keep hitting, because I feel like when you are in church or raised as a Christian, you know, especially old school, you get into a routine of serving. You get in a routine of going and being in rituals and things like that. It's easy to do. We're creatures of habit. And it's like, where's the Holy Spirit and all that? I used to wonder. When I was on my healing journey, one of the things that kept coming to me is, I think it's in Acts 2, when they received the Holy Spirit. And it talks about, and you shall have power after this Holy Spirit has come. And I used to say, where's the power? After the Holy Spirit has come, where is the power? Where is the ability to do and be and see myself the way that this word is saying I'm supposed to see myself and to connect with the Holy Spirit? I don't see it. And so I literally would stay on that scripture for it. When I say months, I'm not exaggerating, because it would always come back to me. Now I realize it was the Holy Spirit saying that to me. You shall receive power. And I'd be like, where am I in the way? But I later found out I was in the way of receiving that power. The word had already been said. I had the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know how to connect with the Holy Spirit. I didn't really understand the intent of the Holy Spirit. He's a helper. He's there to comfort, advocate and counsel us and strengthen us and stand by us. And one of the reasons why it was hard for me to understand the power aspect is I was always looking as the Holy Spirit as only to tell me who I was versus who I thought I was. I always felt like, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you when you're doing wrong, you know, when you should be doing right. So I had a very narrow view and understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so, which means, guess what? I wasn't really receptive to anything else because I hadn't really read the word. Me and my husband were talking about this too. He said, you know, I was talking about if he ever called and tried to, you know, mask his voice, I would know who he is. I spent time with him. I know his voice. He even said to me one time when we would go to the store together, or he would sit and wait for me while he dropped me off, he could hear my footsteps and knew it was me coming up in a cart. He could understand my cadence. And he said, and every time he would say, that's Vanessa, it would be me. So he's that intimacy or that paying attention. I never thought he paid attention to my footsteps or how I walk, really. And so I think that when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, we understand how he deals with us, how he comes to us. And the only way that I saw him dealing with me was, oh, you did that wrong, you did this wrong. And that was coming from a paradigm that had to do more with the people in my life that were authority figures. I saw him in a very warped way because of the authority figures in my life, which were people, and people are not perfect. They're going to give you an imperfect image, so you can't get your image from people when it comes to relating to the Holy Spirit. You got to go to the Word. Go to the Word and your understanding will be expanded and enlightened. And so I was, how many decades did I hobble around spiritually, not understanding how the Holy Spirit was always there to help me? And I would hear him and hit some, you know, in prayer time, or once I calmed down, my emotions were so much a filter that it was difficult for me to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. It was difficult for me to be, for him to advocate for me, because I was always doing things in my own strength. So he couldn't strengthen me if I was so prideful to be in my own strength. And definitely I didn't recognize when he was standing by me, and so, or trying to help me or any of those things. And so it was kind of, like I said, a very, I was in the way of him knowing, I mean, when all I had to do was just read the word and believe what the word said the Holy Spirit was for, you know, and then I would pray and cry, I need you, I need you. And he's like, I'm right here, right here. And so when you're wounded or you need to be healed emotionally or mentally, it can be very difficult. But what I want to offer everyone tonight is, if you're in a place where you haven't read your word in a while, for whatever reason, or you haven't prayed in a while, I want you to make efforts to start doing that, not ritualistically, you know, to mark up, to check a box. I want you to do it because this is an intricate part of you knowing who this Holy Spirit is and engaging with him and seeing him as who he is based on what the word is saying. He wants to be in a relationship with us. And I think it's key that we let him in. We can have the Holy Spirit speak in tongues and all this. And what I realize is a lot of times we are in the way. Our own perspectives are in the way. It's easier to men to try to please men, or to try to look at a man as somebody who you really listen to. And, oh, I remember when they said this and that. And it's like, oh, you remember what they said, but do you remember what the Lord said, what he told you as an advocate, as a comforter? You know, how do we hear from God? How do we know it's his voice versus our voice? Read the word and believe it. So don't just read the word like you're reading a newspaper. Read the word and begin to believe the word and stand on the word. Journal after you read the word. Engage the scriptures. Do the word. Learn how to, with the things that you don't understand, ask the Lord to help you understand the scriptures, not just to do them, but to be, not just to know it, but to obey it. That's really a key part. You know, Jesus said several times in this passage about loving him and obeying him and knowing him. Obey his teachings, keep his teachings. It's not just to say, do as I say, you know, not that way. We can't even, that's part of the problem with us not being receptive to the Holy Spirit about when it comes to the sovereignty of God. And it, I'm not trying to make it complicated, but I really do feel like a lot of times we get in the way of understanding how he is more of a lover. He's not a fighter. He's trying to love us to where we need to be so we can be. He came to help us. He knew we were going to need help. He knew we were going to be challenged following after, you know, Christ. He knew that. And so he sent us what we need. And I think it's important for us to be helped. Now, a lot of people are prideful. Not just hurt people, but people that are not necessarily dealing with wounds or whatever, but pride gets in the way of the role of the Holy Spirit to us. If you go into the doctor and you're trying to tell the doctor how to diagnose you, the doctor's going to look at you crazy. And like, why? I thought I was the expert. Why are you coming to me? He intercedes for us in areas where we can't intercede. When you begin to read the word, so let's go through the scriptures. When you begin to go to the word, especially in the New Testament, but then there's also examples of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but I'm not getting into that. I don't think that's, I'm in the depth of teaching. I'll leave that to my husband to teach that about the Holy Spirit active in the Old Testament. But I'm going to talk about the New Testament tonight. Like I said, everyone, I'm just scratching the surface. But I think this is more, this teaching is more like a clarion call or a reminder of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how we really do need him. He needs us to need him. He needs us to be in his, to be an intricate part of this whole thing. It's all a part of our salvation. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit starts on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2, like I mentioned before, they waited for the Holy Spirit. They anticipated the Holy Spirit. There appeared to them, you know, divided tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues, which is evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 2. Actually, that whole chapter is a powerful chapter, Acts 2. Receiving the Holy Spirit is basically called also about baptism of the Holy Spirit. You hear people talk about that a lot, and this is Matthew. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. This is John the Baptist saying, and then I, mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent. Remember, this is one of those first Bible verses I had to recite and memorize as a child. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So you have to believe and be willing. So a lot of times we are initially, we receive the Holy Spirit, we, you know, speak in tongues, we're on fire. But then as life starts, or not starts, as life continues on, I think that it's still important to have that same posture, to ask, to be open, to understand he's there to help us, to be ingratiated towards him, to be available to him, to be responsive to him. So once we have it, you have to work on your relationship. It's nothing that Holy Spirit has to do. It's more about what you're doing, how you believe, really. Do you believe based on these attributes? And these are just some of them. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us, those who obey him. So obedience is one of the ways we, disobedience is one of the ways we grieve the Holy Spirit, because we don't obey when he's telling us to do something. Or showing us something, we're out of agreement or we're out of alignment with something, and it grieves him. It's like you're trying to help somebody do something and they just totally don't let you. That's what I meant earlier. You just grieve in the Holy Spirit. I got my hand raised really high because I did that for a long time, like consistently. And I won't sit up here and say I don't do it from time to time, because I do, because I don't listen or I don't lean in. Have you ever had somebody who you're close to, you have a bond with, and they start to tell you something, and you can tell by their posture that it's something very, that it's something important to them, because they begin to lean into you, or they tell you to lean into them, I really have something, or they'll tell you to sit down or something, and that lets you know they're about to share their heart with you or share something very important with you. I believe the Holy Spirit is like that with our posture. Has to be a posture of humility, and it's really important that we lean in when he begins to tell us something, so that we don't be, and leaning in means you trust too. So there has to be this, that trust has to be there. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit is going to tell you is not going to be something crazy, but you have to trust what he says. And so for me, I will say that a lot of times when I don't obey or I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, because I don't trust. The trust issue can get in the way, especially for somebody who was coming from a broken past. But once you get healed in a lot of areas, he enables you not just to hear, not just to lean in, but to trust. Believe it or not, that trust for some reason is fortified when you begin to listen and obey with the intent to obey. Not just saying, okay, I heard you, and then you go about your merry way and do what you want to do. That grieves the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. Pay attention. Respond. Even respond with a question sometimes, because if that person who was, let's say in the natural, that person is telling you something that's important to them, and you begin to question them or just, you know, ask questions that gives you clarity so you can communicate better with them about the situation or whatever it may be. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing. He engages us, and sometimes it starts all of these questions. And sometimes the failure to not ask questions means you don't trust God sometimes. And because he knows we don't have full understanding. So sometimes he'll say something to us and we'll be like, okay, and no, good and well, we don't understand. We don't have clarity at all. How are you going to do? How are you going to obey? How are you going to get closer to the Lord if you don't understand? So I think those questions can be responses. And so there's so many ways, if you think about your closest relationship and you think about the good things of that relationship and the bad things of that relationship, you can take some of that and just add that to how you relate to the Holy Spirit, because more likely it's how you relate to the Holy Spirit, good and bad. So there's work to be done, and there's always work to be done. And he talks about a seal in Ephesians. He said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That sealing means just like when you put a seal on or a stamp on a letter or a document, that's official, that carries weight, that is a symbol of relationship and covenant and all this and that. And so it's important that his seal of the Holy Spirit is on us. And that means something. That carries weight. And we it should make it a little bit better or easier to trust something that has been put a seal on. There's no failure in that. There's no instability in that. And him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. See, that word trust is an intricate part of our salvation. And we being able to relate to the Holy Spirit, heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also having believed, see that believing and trust. Those are the words that jump out in the scripture in Ephesians 1:13-14. Trust and believing. You were healed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. For as many are led by the Holy Spirit, we're the sons, which means you're not illegitimate. You're the sons of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit in our life is part of our birthright. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're not illegitimate children. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, which is part of it, that we also will be glorified together. That's in Romans 8:14-17. And so the things that stick out to me is spirit of adoption. We are sons. We don't have to be in bondage because of fear, not knowing what we belong to and who we belong to, but we're sons. There's a ownership in this. Once again, that points to relationship. We're not illegitimate. So that Holy Spirit being active in our life is an indicator of that. We are not illegitimate. We might act like it sometimes by not responding and connecting, but we're not. And so the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And that's really important. That's one of my, like always, he's the spirit of truth, period. Jesus said to his disciples not long before he was to leave them, if you love me, you keep, once again, this is what I read earlier. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So the love and the obedience is key. It's because of his authority, because he knows best, his sovereignty, his plan for us. Obedience is key. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all these things. So that means even though in places there's still a lot to learn. in places of obedience, not just doing things in a vacuum and say, okay, that's good enough. I did what he said. You know, am I any closer? More than likely, no. So I think that you're not necessarily closer because you're checking the box or you're going through the motions. We do that in our relationships, in the natural and the spiritual. I know we do it. He said, but he will teach you all the things that you need to know and bring to remembrance the things that Jesus said, the things that I taught you even. Doesn't he bring things to our remembrance? Doesn't he teach us all things, things that pertain to life and godliness, even the things in the Word of God or maybe things from the past? He gives us the truth about a perspective that we have. I think I'm going to talk about this a little bit, dig into this piece, because I feel like he teaches us all things and brings to remembrance all the things that were said. This is what Jesus is saying. But I know that the Holy Spirit, because he is a comforter, he's not going to lie to us. That's the way the world does it. Well, don't tell them the truth. They just tell them what they want to hear. And, you know, that's how we console people sometimes. And that's a whole nother subject. But I feel like he's not going to lie to us. He always tells us the truth. He doesn't keep anything from us. And that is comforting to know that you can trust and believe in a presence of God that will help you through anything. And that is part of one of the comfort mechanisms that he uses, is he does not lie to us. And so sometimes truth does not always feel good. And so we pair it with despair, or we pair it with, that's hard, that's harsh. But anybody that you love, even in the natural, you have to learn to tell them the truth. And some people say, well, handle the truth. But if you love me, you wouldn't keep the truth from me. Even eventually, however you tell me, you're going to tell me the truth. The Holy Spirit is like that with us. So as we're growing and as we get a healed perspective and insight, he's going to tell us the truth. And the Word does too. So that's how I love you. And to me, that's not even considered tough love. Tough love is telling a person the truth. No, not necessarily. I think the truth is only brutal. You know how some people say, well, that's so brutal, that's the brutal truth. It's because the person's motive who's telling you that may not have a right motive. That's just my opinion. But when the Holy Spirit is telling us the truth, it's not brutal. It's loving. It's loving. It's protective in nature. He's not going to lie to us.
It builds up.
Part of that, I believe, you know how in the Old Testament there are so many scriptures that talk about he put a hedge around us, or he's putting a hedge around us. That spirit of truth is a hedge. I believe that he protects us so much with the truth about ourselves, about a situation, about a person, about a perspective. And as we begin to heal, when I tell you so many truths get unearthed, it's like those skeletons or whatever they were in somebody's closet are able to actually form some kind of understanding about yourself and about the world through the filter of the Holy Spirit. It's pretty powerful, actually. And I thank God for that he is a spirit of truth. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. So this is Jesus talking to them. That part right there, I tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not, and it's to your advantage, I'm going away. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I'm going to stick around. This is just an example of how the Holy Spirit deals with us. He will not come to you, and he's talking about the helper, and he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So he's telling them this and couching it with, but I'm going to send something to help you, to comfort you, because I know they already was going through changes just hearing about it. So he had to start assuring them the helper is here. He will be sent. He will remind us of God's word in our daily situations, knowing what they were going to face. So don't, if you're struggling with that, let the Lord comfort you. Let him comfort you the way that he knows best, not the way you're accustomed to. Because as a spirit of truth, he's not going to keep the scales over your eyes. He wants your inner man to be enlightened. And that in itself is an agent of strength when he tells you the truth. Isn't truth an agent of strength? It really is.
Yes, amen, amen.
It gives you understanding and right standing than believing a lie or wanting to hear lies just to feel comfortable. it's powerful. The Holy Spirit is a powerful force in our lives.
Yeah.
Remember, I talked a little bit about where's the power?
And you shall receive power.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. I heard this all my life. Got to a place where I was frustrated with my own self and my own process. And I just cried out one day in frustration, like, where is the power, Lord?
But Peter, right here.
He said, you in the way. That's part of the problem. Peter, who just, I'm going to read from Acts. Peter, who just days before was so weak and timid that he couldn't manage to confess Jesus even. Remember how he betrayed him even though he wanted to. He was full in the moment of power when the Spirit fell on him, though. And so do you also have a good desire in your heart to live purely before the Lord? Do you long to say no in a temptation, but you just lack the power? So this is going about how does the Holy Spirit help us? How does he enable us? That power is not just about, oh, to fight off demons and to say what I need to say to the right person. It is in everyday life. It's the power to listen, the power to be still, the power to say, I will live and not die, the power to push through, the power to say, I got to learn how to do this.
Oh, hallelujah.
There's a lot of empowerment. Every day the Holy Spirit is saying, he says, stop, don't say you can't do it, say you can do it. And sometimes it's even like, don't eat this. You know, this every day. This is power. One of the things I used to hear before I had the Holy Spirit was people saying, I can't help it. Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, you can help it.
Yes, you can. Speak up.
So that just means that we're happy to the power. You know, people are constantly caught up in all kinds of foolishness, and I'm like, well, that's just the pride right there, and there needs to be more humility. But we are empowered to do a whole lot, to say yes when he is saying yes and to say no when he's saying no. And, I mean, we both, there's probably the whole Spirit Alive network could get on here and all of us can talk about the times how God empowers us every day.
Yes.
Through minute everyday things and in ministry.
Yes.
So that power is felt every day. When I feel like I can't and my body hurts and he's saying, yes, you can. I'm here with you. I will strengthen you. He is a strengthener. Prayer is one of those things that kind of got me really sensitive to how he empowers us and strengthens us. It's not by accident that's the case. This will also enable us with his power and with his strength to walk within us. What this is all about anyway.
Hallelujah.
Walk in the Spirit. So you won't be entertaining, you know, the temptations of the flesh. After receiving the Spirit's empowerment, from this verse, that there is a way for us to proceed. Obedience is a good heart with a submissive heart, a heart of true humility.
Teachable heart.
Be teachable always. Trust. Believe.
Yes, amen.
I say this a lot when I'm talking about prayer, but I would say, why are you praying if you don't believe your prayers are going to be answered? What is the point? So I believe when we walk with God, there's an expectation. There should be an expectation that some of these attributes, and this is not even all of them, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the counselor, and the strengthener, and one who is interceding for us will be an intricate part of our relationship. Not just the saying, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit, and yet you don't even experience any of those on a daily basis because you don't have any level of expectation. You're
That's
just
right.
doing stuff in a vacuum and expecting all this power. Get out of here. That's not how it works. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. We hear that all through the Old New Testament. When you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Jesus said it. In some of the Gospels, harden not your heart. That goes to what I was saying about not being responsive and reactive to the engaging of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the
That's
Spirit.
Funny.
Don't quench the Spirit. So I just wanted to lay this out before June when we go into the other teachings that I want to do. And once again, I'm going to give everybody a brief overcast of what's coming for the rest of the year. I will be talking about the New Age. The title of that series will be called Too Much Salt. I'm going to be talking about abuse of authority in leadership as it pertains to the body of Christ. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about abuse in corporate America or government. But I also will be talking about the Deliverance Remix. So we're going to be talking about deliverance and trauma in a very different way, and deal with things that most people don't talk about when it comes to deliverance. Thank you again, Bishop, for letting me do this show tonight. And first, I'm done speaking about the attributes of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And to God be the glory. What a beautiful lesson we heard on tonight. It was articulate. It was clear. It was very well laid out. But now, if you are in our studio and you would like to put a praise on it, or you would just like to testify to the goodness of the Lord, just press your one, kindly press your one, and I will address the digits of your phone number. And I put no praise on it, please. And I will relate it to Vanessa. But while I'm impressed, I would just like to thank you again for this wonderful, powerful lesson. And brothers and sisters, friends, I truly believe that one of the reasons that we do remain in our brokenness is because we do not yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the daily. And we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And when we talk about attributes, you need to remember that he has all the attributes of God. And so if he's dwelling on the inside of you as your parakletos, and that is the Greek word for teacher, which means to come along beside, you need to remember that God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for our sin. And then Jesus loved us so much that he knew that in order for us to live the life that was pleasing to his Father, to walk in the way, to walk in the Spirit, that we would need, he gifted us with his Spirit, that loving, teaching Spirit. But, but we must submit, we must yield, we must listen, and we must obey. The truth hurts sometimes, but the wonderful thing about our Father God and his Holy Spirit is that it builds us up. It builds our character. So therefore, we are strengthened. Therefore, we can be healed. We can be delivered. We can be transformed. So we have help. A lot of people saying that's all, hold on, help is on the way. No, help is already here in the form of the Holy Spirit. So I would just like to thank Prophetess Vanessa for bringing that reminder forth, especially concerning healing. And when you are broken and you might not even know what to pray, just groan. See, that's another thing that the Holy Spirit does. He's a divine translator.
Yes.
He will pity every, because see, even when all you can do is cry, honey, the Holy Spirit would translate them tears and take it up to Jesus. So, don't be afraid to say, well, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know what to say in this situation. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and he will lead you, guide you, direct you, give you the words to say, love on you, comfort you. We fall down, but we can get back up. And the Holy Spirit himself will dust us off. So I'm going to turn the program back over to Prophetess Vanessa. I don't see anyone, but I know why, because the lesson was so good that people are just probably trying to absorb it all because it was powerful. So, Prophetess, if you have any last words, you may say them at this time and close your program, darling.
Okay. Thank you, Bishop, for bringing out those other highlights about the intercession and in our daily life. She's right. I totally agree. We don't see the results we do because we kind of put him on the shelf or put him on to the sideline because we don't know how to interact. I want to just let everybody know that the moment that you begin to start where you are, read the word, understand the word of how the Holy Spirit is engaging us every day, whether we respond or not, and then begin to work on the relationship based on understanding, not just based on what you think. Read the word about what the Holy Spirit is and what he came for and how he's still with us so that it can grow. So I just want to encourage you to do that tonight. And as you're working on these different things in your life and ministry as servant leaders, I always believe I'm talking to leaders, even if they're just potential leaders in the future, that this will help you be connected and do everything with him and not just by yourself. You are never alone, and there's a reason why Jesus said that when he said he would leave them, because you're really never alone, forever.
That's right.
And forever means forever. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen. Hallelujah. We just want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight, and we just praise God that you continue to listen and follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Just a friendly reminder, due to the faithfulness, and I do mean faithfulness, of all the servant leaders here on Spirit Alive, during the month of May, I am going to put all the programs on hiatus except for our worship service. They deserve time off to rest, to regroup, to listen to God, to prepare, as Prophetess Vanessa has said, to go into the next season, the next teaching. So we just want you to know that they are not gone. The Spirit of Life Network is not leaving. I am simply giving these anointed and these wonderful, faithful servant leaders time off. Because we must do all things in moderation, and we must do things with balance. So we just praise God for all of our listeners, and we just want you to know that we have over 3,000 archive programs on Blog Talk Radio. You simply need to go to Blog Talk Radio, type in the Spirit Alive Network or the Spirit Alive Ministry Network, or you can also access it by your favorite host or program. So, and all the programs will come up for your convenience. So once again, this has been Bishop Shalene Cook, and along with Prophetess Vanessa Carver, your facilitator and host for Wounded No More. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful, blessed week and weekend. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from the Spirit Alive family household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you, everyone. Good night, Prophetess. You did a beautiful job.
Thank you. Good night. Have a good night, everyone.
God bless.